Hello, and welcome back to Manga Taiwan after a bit of a hiatus again, but it is what it is. Quentin has just started his studies, and I've been at this for like I guess a little over 2 months now. But yeah, here we are, and we're back with another episode.
We've got excuses, okay? We've got excuses. We've got excuses. I am excited to be back, as I am every time. And today we have a particularly nice topic. I feel like it's another one of those kind of rite of passage topics where it's like we got to do this. Like there's no, like it's almost like embarrassing to think that we haven't done this yet, you know what I'm saying? I mean, almost. But I feel like for some reason I've just been thinking about this kind of topic a lot more lately, where it's like it kind of feels like weirdly appropriate to do it now, for me at least. It's like, I don't know. I've just been like, okay, well, I guess I just stopped beating around the bush. The topic that we're going to discuss today is
Top 10 most badass
BDs.
characters.
And like, I don't know why, but I've just been thinking about it a lot more lately than I usually have been. Like, I don't know. I've just kind of been craving stories where some person is like just oppressively badass and like does some crazy stuff. Like, not even power fantasy style, just like, dude is not going down. Dude is on demon time, sort of.
Demon time,
Demon time. I don't know why. It's just, and I think that's the thing, right? Like a lot of people go to anime and manga for that. Like, and I can't blame them. Like it's just like it's great stuff. Like, and I think there are very few mediums that do it as well, just because of like the over the topness and expressiveness of anime and manga, and particularly anime, I would say, and also manga in some ways, just differently. It's just like the ideal medium to have like these characters that are just like just ridiculously cool. I don't know. It's like
Yeah, that's basically what they are, right? I mean, badass is just like this term for like, I guess it's sort of like a catch-all term for like someone who is like unbelievably cool and like,
like just like beyond the realm of like realistic, like almost like hilariously cool. You know what I'm saying? Like we're just like you're almost like giggling or like just like kind of like scoffing at how cool they are, because there's no way that could even exist in real life. Like, unless you're, I don't know, like freaking, like who is an actual badass in real life? Like, I don't
Yeah,
know.
that's the thing. I don't know, honestly. I mean,
Like,
maybe like
I mean, I feel
different.
like some actors you could say, but like that's when they're
I
acting, you
see
know
like people like yeah, like maybe like Bruce Lee or like I don't know, Clint Eastwood.
what I mean? Quentin Tarantino is an actual badass. That's, I would say so. And I'm not biased, okay? I'm not biased. But like I would actually say that Quentin Tarantino, like in his interviews, he's just a straight up badass. That's my opinion personally. It's hard not to feel like I'm biased. But let us get into the actual rankings. Do you mind if I start today
Yes, go
then? Go ahead, Mr.
ahead,
Chokes.
Mr.
Okay, so actually, I'm pretty curious how many commonalities we're going to have in this list, because I'm sure we've discussed a few of these characters and how much
We
we.
definitely have, yeah.
All right. I'm pretty sure I know at least two that we're going to have in common, but let's see. My number 10 spot is Thorkell from Vinland Saga. So I have not yet seen the trailer for season two, the anime that is going to be coming out January, which I am very, very excited for, even though I actually haven't watched season one. I've read the manga, but I really think I should. And then also I feel like just this next arc is just so good. So really excited for that. The interesting thing is that this arc that is coming up epitomizes the exact opposite of what Thorkell is. If Thorkell is sort of like the manifestation of the prologue and like all of the freaking war-torn crap that goes on in that section of the story, this upcoming arc is like sort of like trying to literally contradict everything that Thorkell stands for. And I think what makes him so, and I'm gonna try not to spoil as much as I can for anybody, especially Ben. But like, what's so ridiculous about Thorkell, and I think what makes him badass in a way that is very unique, actually, I don't think there are many other characters that like achieve the level of badassery that Thorkell does through his means, it's almost like this semi-comedic way of doing things. It's like he's so obsessed with battle and he enjoys it so much. It's like a child going out to play. Like, you know, the child doesn't get his candy, he gets angry. And there are just some ways that Yuki Mura, the artist and author of Vinland Saga, kind of like almost meta, in a meta way, acknowledges that kind of weirdly comedic side of Thorkell's just brutality and badassery, the way that he's just like unstoppable and like just like, you know, he just bathes in blood as soon as he hits the battlefield. Like there are these, there's one moment in particular, like a comedic moment that I think most people who've read the manga will know what I'm talking about. It's a reference to a certain movie. Let's just say that. And it's just genius. And it's just like, it's almost like Yuki Mura is just straight up telling you, I know that this guy is kind of ridiculous, but I know you know I know. And it's like, I don't know. It's a very unique way of making a character badass. And when I think of badasses, Thorkell just ticks all of the kind of stereotype boxes, as well as just, you know, adding his own spin to it, which I really appreciate. And I mean, it's always a joy when he shows up in Vinland Saga. I know it's like an actual event amongst readers. I'm not a monthly reader, like I know a lot of people are, because I try to keep on volume format, which is actually pretty rare for me. Usually I am keeping up with the latest issue, but for Vinland Saga, it's a special case. Because it's one of the fantastic seinen that is not on hiatus. Sorry. Well, I guess one of another fantastic seinen is no longer on hiatus, so.
That's true.
Yeah. I just know that every time that Thorkell shows up in a chapter, people go crazy. It's like, Thorkell chapter! You know, and it's just like, I don't know. I can completely understand that, because he has like this air of like badassery tinged with comedy that makes him like likable in a way that I don't think any other badass character is as well.
Yeah. I fully get that. He's just, oh man. He's just, and that's the thing. Like, he's like comically badass, you know?
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Like, not even in the way that like some characters like from One Punch Man are, for example, not even. Like, he's just comically badass in the way that he approaches battle, I feel like, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely considered putting him on my list. I actually have another Vinland Saga character that I went with, but...
Oh!
I guess you can probably guess.
I don't think you leave very much up to the imagination there, Ben.
Yeah. Thorkell is he is that guy.
He is that guy. Whenever I hear that, I swear. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're that guy. All right.
Yeah. But all right. So moving on to my number 10 spot, I have Jack Hanma from Baki.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. So
The Roid Man.
So, you know, it's funny because, like, so Jack Hanma is a character within the Baki series. You know, he's the brother, or I guess the half-brother of
Natty. He's not Natty.
He's not Natty, yeah. And I think in a weird way, that actually adds to his badass, because I feel like, you know, most cases I would be like, okay, steroids, yeah. I mean, I guess you can do that, but it's not Natty. But I think for Jack, he's willing to do whatever it takes in order to achieve victory, right? He's like, these aren't normal steroids, you know, these are life-threatening drugs that he takes on a routine basis.
And he doesn't even pay attention to how much he takes either.
yeah. But it's just like, you know, and like the sheer ferocity like with which he fights, you know, it's just like, I mean, he is like a beast, like for all intents and purposes, like perhaps like even more so than like even Yujiro is in a way. But yeah. But you know, and just like, I feel like, and like the sheer, like his sheer like resolve to like, you know, get stronger, like even in the face of like Baki, who at this point is like pretty clearly very superior to him, is just like insane. And like his so I feel like he's just one of those characters that have this like although I guess that's like a common thing for like a lot of characters on my list, is that they have this like insane resolve that like pushes them forward, and it's just like,
yeah, right, yeah. I for sure think that is like a commonality between every one of my characters on this list as well. Like that is just, it is just badass. And I think that is actually the factor that leads to a lot of main characters in especially battle shonen and just shonen in general, having their quote unquote badass moments. Because actually a lot of characters, main characters, I would not consider badass because I think it just kind of takes away the immersion factor, the quote-unquote self-immersion factor that I think a lot of people expect from a series. Although these days it's a little different because people want to self-insert into an overpowered
character.
It's just weird.
Bro, he's but literally me.
He's literally
No.
But like, I think in general, for like actual non-doggy poo stories. Okay, not all power fantasies are doggy poo, but a lot of them, like 99% of them are, if you ask me personally. But like, I think it's kind of interesting to note that a lot of these characters, for me personally, they're not the main character, because it just wouldn't make sense very much, I don't think, in a lot of like, you know, more classic shonen / seinen / just battle oriented stories. Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting because I do have several characters on my list that are actually the protagonists.
Interesting.
I think that most of them, I guess, or at least the majority of them aren't. So it is definitely interesting sort of like dynamic there. But nonetheless, Jack is, I mean, he's always on Demon Time.
Yeah, and so, I'm sorry, I need to come in for my annoying manga reader kind of vibe, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
Jack in the most recent arc of the manga. He's taken some W's, and it feels good.
Nice. Yeah. Finally, he deserves it. Yeah. But actually, I didn't see. One of the more recent fights from the upcoming anime. I did actually watch like a video of like Jack versus Pickle, and that was insane. Yeah.
No, he has some good fights, but he always takes the L, and it's frustrating.
Does, yeah.
It's like Vegeta syndrome, you know what I'm saying? It's like Vegeta syndrome.
Yeah. Vegeta, yeah. But in a way, I feel like that actually makes them like more badass, like by not winning all the time.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, and let me tell you, the W he took in this recent arc is no small W either. Like, it's a pretty major W. I mean, I guess this is kind of borderline spoilers, but it's like final boss W, which is crazy. It's kind of awesome to see.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's sad because I know like the writers of Dragon Ball, they'll never let Vegeta do that. If I'm being honest, they'll just never do it.
Vegeta in the rain.
Vegeta in the rain.
To Guts theme.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to my number 9 spot. It is Quan Chi. Of course, there are various ways that people who are not native Mandarin or Cantonese speakers will pronounce this name, but I will pronounce it Quan Chi because that is, to the best of my knowledge, how it is pronounced. And especially within the fandom, the English-speaking fandom, that's how it is referred to. But damn, I've just completely nuked the badass factor of my introduction to this number 9 spot badass character. But don't let that fool you, because she is very badass. Okay, I'm just sounding ridiculous now. But in any case, this is Chainsaw Man's top assassin. Referred to by, I think, a lot of characters in the series as like humanity's strongest, which is weird because it's like kind of parallels another character from another series who is actually not on my list, believe it or not, but I digress. You know, barring the similarities to Levi, I think Quan Chi is just the way that she is kind of portrayed to be cool is like in like such a typical Fujimoto style. It's like he almost like just patches together a bunch of very trite, tropey kind of movie character archetypes and just like says, here you go, have this. And it's awesome. You can't even accuse him for being unoriginal. In fact, you can't even in like, you know, if you wanted to, because like, it isn't really an unoriginal idea either. Just to give you an idea, Quan Chi is like this eye-patched assassin from China who also like just parades around everywhere in the most inconspicuous manner possible, even though she's an assassin, with like this harem of girls just like just walking around, just like doing whatever she likes. And I think something that really does lend to like just the general kind of oppressive cool factor of Quan Chi are very specific moments in the manga. I think a lot of badass characters tend to kind of add to their badass backlog through just like, just generally, like anytime they're on screen. I mean, of course, Quan Chi's design is amazing. So whenever she shows up on screen, it is cool. But I think the main bulk of like what solidifies her in my mind as like one of the top 10 coolest, most badass characters in anime manga for me personally are two moments in particular. But there are a lot more than that as well. And they're all in this one very short arc in the grand scheme of Chainsaw Man. I mean, they're all pretty short arcs, but it's so hard not to go into spoilers, but manga readers will know the panel that I'm talking about, or the series of panels rather. If you don't quite know manga readers, I'll give you a hint. It's the crumbling sword. Hopefully that kind of cues you in if you hadn't already noticed what I was talking about. But just like these moments where you're like, damn, that's ridiculous. It feels like Fujimoto is making me watch some kind of weird B-rated horror movie again. But god darn it, this time it's with a badass assassin and I love it. I really don't really know how to kind of solidly put why I love Quan Chi as much as I do, but it's just so cool. Just so cool. And, you know, it's like one of those kind of short and sweet characters where you're like, damn, they kind of didn't stay in the story for as long as I would have liked them to, but pretty cool, pretty cool. And I mean, that goes to show as well, the impression that they made in a short amount of time. Definitely one of the things I'm looking very much forward to seeing animated. For show, for show.
Yeah, and I guess I am too now.
Yeah. I think everybody right. is. And if you're not, I'm telling you, you are.
Yeah. All right. So moving on to my number 9. Indeed. I have Jonathan Joestar, the very first JoJo from Jonathan is, you know, I feel like among the JoJos, he has some like an interesting position, because obviously, I mean, I feel like, I mean, I would agree, and of course, you know, most people, I guess, would, that he isn't, you know, he isn't the best JoJo ultimately, but ultimately I feel like he is the not most a badass mid
star.
No, he's not mid.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, I mean, with Jonathan, like, I think it's a very different type of badassery that like, than like some of the other characters, because like he has like the whole like gentlemanly like pure aspect to him, right? But nonetheless, I feel like his, like, you know, like I said, like, you know, like his you know, his resolve, his like, his burning like willpower is just like so like
burning hormone.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
His burning hormone is just like, yeah. I mean, it's just you know, and he has yes, of course, the I forgot exactly what he says, but it's when he does the sunlight yellow overdrive.
Oh yeah. It's like
burning heart, like something like that. I can't remember. But
I don't know. The reason I don't remember that is because almost directly after that, you get the whole pluck scene where you're like, meep.
Yeah.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. Jonathan, definitely badass. I do think, though, what is interesting to note is that when I think of badass, I don't really think of a very polite character. In fact, I think of the exact opposite. I think of an oppressively rude character, which is, I think, yeah, a trait that a lot of the characters on this list do share. I feel like you know, I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that, you know, Jonathan would never say the word badass anyway, because it has a swear word in it. I'm just joking. But no, I do think it is interesting to note how like badassery is kind of associated with like a sort of like rudeness. Like, I mean, almost arrogance in some cases, but that doesn't necessarily need to be. And I think it is interesting how Jonathan manages to be badass even without kind of displaying traits like that.
True, yeah, definitely. It is a different, yeah, exactly. Because like I said, it is a different type of badassery, but yeah. I feel like it is badassery nonetheless.
Yeah. It's definitely not badass in the English dub of JoJo, but, you know. No. All right. My number eight spot is a certain green-haired, three-sword-wielding pirate from a certain pirate-based story that happens to have outsold a certain Caped Crusaders franchise, Zorro. Zorro is just, I don't know, I think that's probably for me the main appealing part of his character. And it's really funny because honestly, a lot of the subtleties of Zorro's kind of more, I guess, in the depth of character developments and like progressions, even are kind of completely overshadowed by his just badass presence. Because I think most fans, when they kind of observe Zorro doing whatever he does in the manga, you know, barring him getting lost or something like that, it's mostly they're there because he's just so cool. And I can't blame them for that, honestly. Like, even though I would like for, you know, the character development to be a little more obvious and for me not to have to dig as deep to get to it, I think the kind of price that I pay in that form is completely worth it, because I get to see him just be extremely badass. You know, even though I'm not kind of getting all that character growth. And I think, honestly, I think that might be hitting on something important. Not saying that a lot of characters who have like a certain kind of badass quality to them are kind of stale or kind of one note, not at all. I mean, there are some examples on this list I'll get to. I'm sure you know what I mean, Ben. I'm sure you probably have some of these characters on your list as well. That do display an incredible level of character depth while still being kind of like badass in a similar way. But I think in the case of Zorro, it's sort of like, you know, you can almost choose which part you want to focus on. You can choose to focus on the part of him that's like kind of like, almost like a Buddhist kind of warrior monk, you know, just thinking about things and relationships between him and his crew and his enemies and battle in a very kind of like, I guess, kind of just, I'll let it be, I'll let what happens happen. At the end of the day, battle is what I'm here for. Sort of like a very kind of almost, I guess, ancient way of looking at a kind of battle and what that means to him, because that is his character at the end of the day. You can either choose to look at that, or you can be like, cool, sword slash. Yeah. He put on headband. He spin sword. Yeah,
and he get lost.
But it don't matter, because even if bad guy find him when lost, he cut, you know, so on and so forth. I mean, there are an unending number of badass Zoro scenes you can point to. Arguably every single scene that he's in, even when he's getting lost, arguably, again, is badass. But, you know, I guess, yeah, you know, I think that there's not really much to be said other than what I have said. Even you could even argue that what I've said is unnecessary already, because Zoro is enjoyable because he is cool. You know, it goes all the way from his design on the surface level. His design is really cool to, again, his I guess subtleties in his behavior and his way of interacting with his crewmates, but then also with his enemies in particular, I think, and his code, which is, you know, begrudgingly to Sanji fans used to discredit Sanji in the whole Zoro versus Sanji debate, which I don't even want to get into because I know how heated that is. But at the end of the day, I think that there are so many things to like about Zoro. And I think just the sheer variety of things to like about Zoro, you know, from a badass perspective, is just like enough to put him this high on the list, in my opinion. Yes, indeed.
All right.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So, All right, so moving on to my number eight. Now, this will be, I have to say this will probably be a very untraditionally badass character, but nonetheless, I do believe he is badass in a way. Okay, so it is Gintoki Sagata from
Gintama. How did I know that? As soon as you mentioned that it was untraditionally.
Yeah, Okay. So, yeah. So for Gintoki, as you would probably know, Gintama is mainly a comedy anime. And so Gintoki himself is, again, mainly a comedic character. But I feel like, but, you know, I mean, there is actually this sort of, like, hidden depth, too, once you get, like, you know, more into the series itself. And I feel like once you actually, like, see those glimpses of, you know, the Shiroyasha, as he's called, the white demon, once in the moments where those come out, I feel like because, like, you know, he spends all his time, like, you know, being this, you know, unassuming goofball, that when you actually see those, like, badass moments, it's just, like, it just increases their, like, impact all the more. Like, I feel like, you know, there's this one very, like, famous scene where, like, Gintoki is, like, he, like, chews through a sword, like, which kind of like what, you know, Saitama does one time. He chews through the sword, and it's just, like, it's, like, in, like, black and white. Yeah, it's just, like, oh, my God, and his face is just, like, insane. Like, he has his, like, a grin on his face, and it's just, like, oh, my God, like, is this, like, the same person? Like,
no, I can imagine. It's, like, that sort of, like, contrast effect. Yeah.
But, yeah, exactly. It is the contrast effect, and it's just, like, it's insane. But I feel like, but, you know, I mean, once, you know, I feel like just in general, like, when Gintoki gets serious, like, it's, like, you know, it's about to go down.
Because usually he's a goofball, and when he suddenly turns serious, it's, yeah, it's, like, even more of an indication than normal. Noise, yeah. I mean, another reason I need to get into Gintama. I won't stop saying it until I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, honestly, I don't think that's necessarily, like, untraditional. Because I think, although in the case of Gintama, it might be a little more exaggerated because of how much of a comedic series it is normally, I think that there are a lot of characters that kind of derive their badassery as well from, like, their switch, if you get what I'm saying. And so, yeah. All right. Well, my number 7 spot, if you don't mind us moving on, Ben, is Eren Jaeger from Attack on Titan. Okay, so again, I'm going to do my absolute best not to spoil anything right here, because obviously Attack on Titan is a minefield of spoilers. I mean, obviously there are spoilers possible with every series, but for Attack on Titan, with all of its changes and twists and turns, even more so. So I'm going to keep this very vague, and I'm sure that people who are aware of what's happening, you know, in the manga, and even the current events of the anime, I think you know what I mean. I think the sheer conviction that Eren shows in later parts of the series is just insane. I mean, I really don't condone anything that he does. I mean, it's a fictional story, but let's just say if he did it in real life, I would be horrified at the guy, like, from a moral perspective. But the conviction to which he believes that he is correct and that what he is doing is the only way is insane. It's just, like, it is insane in a terrifying way, as I described, of, like, whether, you know, you would actually accept this in real life. I know it's a huge debate, is Eren correct or not? I think at the end of the day, like, what are you doing? Like, he's not correct. I don't know, that's just my view on things, but I think, you know, in the context of the story of Attack on Titan, the lengths that he goes to for his beliefs are absolutely insane. I think, you know, if you're talking about fighting spirit, just purely fighting spirit, like, pure quote unquote Black Air Force energy, it doesn't get much more than Eren Jaeger, if you ask me. I think, like, he is really the embodiment of that. I mean, there are other characters that have insane fighting spirits, but that's not really the focus of their badassery or their character or their conviction, if you will. For Eren, it almost feels like, yes, there is a certain message behind what he's doing, but it's not so much the message as it is just the act of doing it, you know, like, as he repeats again and again. You know, I don't know exactly the quote, but the famous Attack on Titan quote, you know, I fight because I was born into this world, or something like that, you know, or I have a reason to live because I was born into this world. I think it just embodies a lot of what his character is. And obviously Isayama does make that clear in his writing. And I mean, nothing but respect for the level to which a character that was kind of a little iffy at the beginning of the story was elevated to like that level of just like cool factor at the later parts of the story. Indeed.
Yeah, I mean, AOT is just like, you know, it's just something I need to get into for sure. Like, I mean, I've just been like, I feel like I've been kind of putting it off, but like, you know, one of these days when I have the time,
I'll have to do it. It's 100% worth it. So like, yeah. I mean, even if it takes you a while, you'll get there and yeah. You'll enjoy it. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'll get there when I get there, exactly. But yeah, exactly. All right. So yeah, nonetheless, okay. So continuing on with my number 7 is Spike from Cowboy Bebop. Yes. So Spike is actually interesting because I feel like I have him above some other characters on my list, but I feel like his badassery is not overpowering, but it's still, I would still consider it extremely potent nonetheless.
Well, like swagger, right? Like it's sort of more ingrained in that. Yeah, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like his like bad, like his like, I guess like flavor badassery. It's exactly, it's like, you know, swagger. It's like, you know, it's slickness. It's like his.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Exactly. Yeah. It's a good way of saying it. Slickness. Yeah, I agree with you for sure. Uh-huh. Yeah. I feel like the thing with Spike though is just like, you know, it is very unique in the sense that he's still able to, like, I know that some characters, you know, they have a certain level of cool factor, but not really badassery, because I think that badassery is nonetheless an ability to get yourself out of difficult situations, whether that be physical or psychological ones. And I think for Spike, although his kind of physical badassery is limited, it's still there. Like, it's still like,
yeah,
you know, it's not the main event, but like, you know, he can still throw hands.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, like, I feel like I, you know, his badassery is on really complete display in, like, I guess his final moments when he's sort of, like, storming into, you know, I guess, you know, whatchamacallit, I guess, like, the hideout of the Red Dragon Gang, which sort of, what's his name? Vicious has taken over. Yeah, where he's just, like, storming in there, and he's, like, this like, one-man army.
Exactly.
All these, you know, all these like thugs, and like he's getting injured, but that just makes it more badass because like he's covered in blood and he just keeps going.
And then the bang at the end.
It's like, oh man, Spike is just like, you know, he's one of my favorite characters. You know,
one of the most iconic anime characters of all time for a reason as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like the most interesting thing about that, right, is like if I think back, especially, not just, but especially to his last kind of standoff with Vicious, right? Like, I kind of start to think, like, you know, I jump to the idea of Western standoffs and cowboys, and then I slowly but surely, and again, people are going to roll their eyes for me getting into, like, a sort of, like, gender debate right now, but it is very closely linked to masculinity somehow, and not in a bad way, necessarily, but it's, like, it's interesting how badassery is sort of, like, it is kind of like, in a lot of cases, definitely not all cases. In fact, for Spike, I wouldn't say it's necessarily this either. It's like a kind of like, damn, he's manly, sort of. Like,
it's sort of
like certain ideas that are like, I guess, intrinsically linked with manliness, but, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be. Like, it's sort of like, you assume that it's a kind of like just a part of, like, you know, manliness, like sort of like, you know, macho, I guess, ism, but like if once you kind of put it in like a non-male character, I don't know, that was really weirdly placed, it works just as well. Okay, and this is going to be the cringe segue, but the reason I brought that up is because my number 6 spot, if you don't mind us moving on, is Maki from JJK. Again, I do not want to get into spoilers, and I know Ben, since you've watched the anime, you're asking, okay, yes, but why this high? Just trust me, manga-wise, like, manga-wise, just, it's not even a debate anymore. It's just, oh my God, Maki is just like, it's not even fair. Due to certain kind of shenanigans, which a lot of people everybody who watches the anime and keeps to date on the JJK story through the anime will become familiar with the concept that applies to Maki at some point in the story in this upcoming season. I know that sounded very convoluted, but you'll get what I mean at some point. The thing is, Maki is one of those characters, I guess similar to early Naruto Lee, for example, that is somehow able to maximize the fact that they are at what seems like a deficit, but in, first of all, an incredibly emotionally charged way. Again, I'm trying to stay as far away as possible from spoilers as I can. But at the like, even on top of that, on top of just the emotional aspect of it, there's also like, it's almost even more literal than with Lee, for example, right? Like with Lee, it's hard work. And that's respectable and all, but with Maki, it's not only hard work, but it's also, you know, combined with this emotional kind of trigger. Again, it's hard to dance around the spoilers, but it really is kind of ingeniously woven into the power system. And the way that that makes her an anomaly, and the way that the fact that she is an anomaly makes her feel that much more threatening and overpowered is just like, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. And I think like a lot of it has to do with the fact that we have a precedent for her case in the series. Again, I'm dancing around spoilers, but you know, that's just how it be. And it's so genius how what we have experienced with that precedent makes us just respect her that much more when it kind of comes to light how she's linked to that precedent. I'm not saying that the precedent is the only reason Maki is badass. No, not at all. I think it's more like, damn, this person is just like that person. Like, wow. And like, this person might even become stronger than that person because maybe this person won't die like that other person did. I know that's spoilers, but I didn't say who that person was. So no, it's not spoilers. But like, just the sheer kind of potential of it is just crazy. Like, you feel like Maki, with this power that, although we've seen before, we haven't seen much of, can just do anything. Because it's like almost like she's a completely, like, a character from a different series with a different power system that just gets plopped into JJK. And it's like, just like, when Maki's on screen, you know, like, people are just gonna fall like flies. And it's like, it's not even funny. I don't know. I just think it's really interesting. Just like, how Gege Akutami uses the precedent that I mentioned and ties that into Maki, but at the same time, it isn't like Maki's just a kind of a carbon copy of that person. No, not at all. Because we have more context on the emotional buildup to Maki's development from a power perspective, it's just completely different. And it's like, you know, that sort of like, I think another factor that can really lend to badassery is righteous kind of anger or righteous kind of like, not even revenge, but just like kind of rudeness or arrogance or something like that, like where the person clearly has like a sort of like a reason that is through a flashback in most cases outlined, like this person has like a vendetta against the world just in general. And I think that often lends to some pretty badass moments pretty well, I would say. Maki is up there for sure, and she might even be higher on this list, honestly, but I guess just, you know, just from the whim of the moment, I did not place her higher. She definitely does not deserve to be lower on this list, but yeah, for sure, one of the most badass characters in anime manga for me.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm really looking forward to see, like, you know, to see that. But even from, you know, what I've gathered from her, just by watching the anime, is that like, she's just so cool, you know? She's like, you know, she is exactly like, sort of like the Rock Lee of JJK, or like, you know, she doesn't have, you
it know, gets like these... better, it gets 100 times better.
All right. I guess I'll see for myself then, but yeah.
All right.
So moving on to my number six, I have Golem Freaks from Hunter x Hunter.
Oh my gosh,
yes indeed. Actually, so, yeah, what
I actually wasn't expecting this, go ahead.
Yeah, all right. So it does feel, I guess, kind of weird, right? Because like, Golem Freaks is just, he's such a young character, and we typically assign like badassery to like, it's like, you know, masculinity and manliness, and like, and that's what sort of implies, you know, being like older, like, or more like a grown male. But nonetheless, Gon is just able to accomplish that as I yeah, it's so funny because it's like, you know, like in Tokyo, you know, Gon is a really comedic character, but he's like, you know, most of the time he's just sort of like, you know, happy-go-lucky. That is his default. But, you know, once he gets, like, later on into the series, he just gets this insane resolve, you know, fueled by revenge, mainly. Yeah. But, you know,
yeah,
it's just, like, yeah, like, even before, because, like, there's this, you know, there is this, like, you know, I guess, moment, like, you know, a lot of people, like, point to later on.
Damn, the internet connection. Let's keep going. Sorry, there was like a weird connection, everyone. Okay, so sorry. It's gonna be funny if that's actually in the recording, and I'm keeping it in if it is. Sorry, Ben, I think you just left off on the part where you were mentioning like how even though there's that one moment that everybody mentions, there's also and then it kind of cut off.
Yeah, so I was saying that, like, even before that moment, that one moment, that big moment that everybody, I guess, thinks about, and I would too, but, like, I feel like, even before then, like, you see, like, his resolve on full display, like, in the, I guess, the invasion scene of the Chimera Antar, where it's the scene where you sort of, it keeps going in the face of, like, this enemy Yuppie that, like, shows up before them. Like, he pretty much has, like, I guess, really no chance of winning. He just, like, he moves forward, and he's, and in that way, he's able to inspire Shoots, who is, like, one of the hunters there with them, and it's just amazing, you know, like, as this, he's able to inspire, like, you know, the people around him who are, like, you know, grown adults, like, he's still, but yeah, I mean, he's just, like, yeah, Gon is just, he is,
he's a mad lad, literally.
He's a mad lad, yes.
Gon. No, I just sounded like Hisoka, shoot. but it's just like, I mean, it's true. He has a very, very, very unique brand of badass. I think it is a way that I think protagonists do sometimes display in other stories, just taken to another kind of dark extreme.
Yeah.
I think it's like shonen protagonist badass, but edgy mode, sort of. But like dark, like actually edgy mode, not like 13... And this is deep edgy moment. but I think it's like it is interesting. It is interesting because even though I hadn't thought of that when I was making this list, I can totally see it. Because I think, you know, it's almost like badass in this way that is sad as well. Like, you know, it's this combination of I knew this character is this happy go lucky character, and now almost in a similar way to Jack Hanma, who is your number 10 spot, if I'm not mistaken, it's sort of like he's willing to throw everything to the wind just for this one very vague goal. I can totally see it. Alrighty. So my number 5 spot is, Ben, this is one that I'm sure you have somewhere on your list. I'm sure. I don't know. Don't cringe at me for putting him this low, but Kenpachi. Okay. Kenpachi. All right. I mean, Kenpachi, what can I say? I could just end it there and let Ben go on. I could just do that, but I'm not going to. I think with Kenpachi, the badass factor just boils down sheerly to power and to just how, like, freaking, like, he doesn't care about anything besides fighting. Like, it's not even with Thorkell where he's sort of, like, just goofy, you know, even when he's not in combat. You know, he enjoys drinking, at least. He enjoys, you know, other kind of maybe Viking shenanigans. But with Kenpachi, he just looks irritated when he's not fighting. He just looks like wasting his time. And I think that, like, you know, this obsession with battle is, like, taken to a completely different level, even compared to Thorkell, as I mentioned, in Kenpachi. He is definitely that kind of badass where it's, like, you know, like a battle fiend, if you get what I'm saying. But I think the fact that, you know, like, you know, all the revelations that happened in the Thousand Year Blood were only the tip of the iceberg. Like, if you think about the fact that we have all of the series until the Thousand Year Blood War to experience just how overpowered Kenpachi is without even any of the factors that make other characters overpowered, i.e. Bankai, even Shikai, and like, just general kind of just, I guess, just abilities. It's just pure physical power. And like, I don't know, some people cringe at this, and I do too, to a certain extent, but I also applaud it. Like the whole two hands in the Noitura fight, like it's just
guess I'll use two hands.
Yes, I'll use two hands. Like it's just that's just Kenpachi, if you ask me. It's like sort of like this guy who I guess embodies the idea of I love battle. And then I guess Kubo transforms the whole plot thread of I love battle, but no one's strong enough to fight with me, so I'm gonna subconsciously suppress myself. Into like, I guess this whole bloom of revelations that we have about him and his abilities in the Thousand Year Blood War. And honestly, it is one of the things that I'm looking forward to most. Like, you know, in the same way that Polnareff is almost more the protagonist of part three than Jotaro, you know, yeah. I think even more so, you know, Kenpachi is the protagonist of Thousand Year Blood War.
He is the MVP of the arc, let's just say that. He's the MVP.
Like even more than MVP though, it's like he literally, he literally gets character development. I mean, I don't think there's really, you know, much worse than saying much more than that, because I think that is the beauty of Kenpachi's badassery. It's just simple. It's just, he likes to fight and he fights well. And he always has the juice in the tank, so to speak, to keep going. And he's going to make you, he's going to make you look like a wimp. He's going to make you look like a wimp, even if you're a giant Viking man that has the heart of a god, you know, like he is.
Yeah, for sure. That is just fam. Exactly. Yeah.
That is just facts.
He is the Kenpachi, as he says himself, I think.
Yeah.
Is that one moment?
Kenpachi.
Kenpachi, yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed. But yeah, all right. So yeah, Kenpachi is on my list, so you'll see him again. moving on to my number five, I have Madara Uchiha from Naruto. So I think it's interesting because I'm pretty sure Madara is actually the only villain I have on this list. So it's interesting because I feel like at least in the anime manga context, when we think of badass characters, we usually don't think of the villain. But I feel like Madara is like a special case where he's just so overpowering. Like it's like
insane. You can't ignore him.
Yeah. It's like, you know, he has that one like one really famous moment where like I guess he like first shows up, like I guess not technically in the flesh because he's
dead, turns up when he pulls up.
He pulls up, yeah. In the fourth great ninja war. And he shows up and he's a literal one-man army.
Personally, I would not argue if someone told me that's the most badass moment in all of anime manga. Honestly, I wouldn't, like moment-wise. But
yeah. It's like, it's almost comical in a way because I feel like, I mean, the common joke is that like, you know, Madara, you know, meets his end like in the way that he does, because Kishimoto just couldn't like come up with another way to like get rid of him. But
And it's like, I mean, honestly, I feel like it would have made a lot more sense from a character perspective just to have him lose, because it's more ridiculous knowing how badass he is to see him get blown up into a balloon, like, you know, to become the Gooba Gooba man or whatever the weird the glob glob.
The glob glob, yeah.
But no, agreed. Okay, so I mean, I can even accelerate the process here because my number four spot was going to be Madara as well. What can be said about Madara that Ben has not already said? I mean, I think one of the things that lends to Madara's badassery the most, believe it or not, and you know, call this extremely specific, even too specific, if you will, but the amount of effort that Piero put into his introductory sequence in the anime, it is possibly the best animated entrance of any anime character, and probably one of the best animated moments in Naruto and just that era of animation in general, you could even say. Just like, you know, it has the perfect pace, and I mean the choreography is on point, and it's just the nonchalantness with which Madara is just eating up these shinobis is just crazy. And I mean, I think another thing to consider is that we've just had this whole kind of arc building up to the formation of this unprecedented large army uniting against this unprecedented threat. And they're like, yeah, but what is this unprecedented threat? And then Madara is just like, I'm going to show you guys what this unprecedented threat is. And it's just like, damn. And it's just like, you know, and like, it's not just these fodder ninja either. It's the Kage. It's the freaking Kage, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't even stop there. You know, just the way that he has everybody in the palm of his hand is also just insane. Like, you know, I feel like I almost just want to say, bro, I'm going to ignore Kaguya right now. Because if it weren't for Kaguya and Zetsu, you know, if it weren't for like the mega brain mastermind food chain of Naruto, like, you know, the whole meme, just like there's always a bigger fish, there's always a bigger brain, you know. I feel like, you know, even considering that, but I don't even want to think about that. When I think of just how cool Madara is and how amazing he was and how he just continued to just win, he just continued to tick off the boxes of his plan. You know, I remember the moment when he orchestrated the whole, like, when the Edo Tensei was released after Kabuto's death, but Madara was able to retain himself, and then he was even able to come back to life using the Rinnegan. It's just like, it's like this big brain mathematics. He's just flying through it as well. He's not even having difficulty with it. And I think that's just like, you know, again, I kind of wanted to mention Aizen here. The reason I didn't use Aizen, even though he could easily have made it onto this list, is because I already had a character from Bleach. But yeah. I think, honestly, you could interchange him with Madara for many of the same reasons. Like, not only is he overpowered and he has, like, this crazy final form and all that kind of crap, but just, like, the fact that, like, they're just so big-brained. It's, like, just, like, no other character makes them badass, in my opinion. Yes.
Indeed. Yeah, Madara is just, he's built different. He's just one of those
built characters. Different. He's a unit.
Yeah.
An absolute unit.
Yeah. But yes, indeed. All right. So moving on to my number four, I have Askeladd from Vinland Saga.
Askeladd,
yes. Askeladd. Oh my god, man. And it's like, I feel like Askeladd, you know, it's funny because like when, like, he's first introduced, he has like almost sort of this like dishonorable moment, right? Where like he, you know, he gets his men to like, you know, fire on Thor's who was the father of the protagonist Thorfinn. It's like, you know, oh yeah, I broke my warrior's promise, but like, you know, whatever. It's like I'm a pirate, I'm like the scumbag anyway. But you know, but Askeladd, like, oh my god, like the way he just like proves himself as this, like, you know, as this complete badass is like, is really profound. And I think especially, I mean, you know, like, I guess similar to Spike in a way, I feel like his badassery is sort of like in full display, like in his final moments, where he's just like, he's like this one, you know, he's just
it's one freaking scene as well.
That scene, yeah, exactly, yeah.
But like, if you think about it, his badass level goes like from 10% to 100% in that scene.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
No. And I think like, it's just, I mean, the manga panel is one thing, but the way that the anime has done it, I have seen this clip nonetheless. It's just, oh my God. Like the slow motion of the crown. Oof. Yeah. For sure. Like, just like, and also just how spur of the moment it is. It's just like, he's like, oh shoot, this guy is about to do something that is the last thing I want him ever to do. And just like the spontaneity, the decisiveness, and just like, bro, Chad moment, just double you moment for everybody. You know, like, it's just, it's, yeah. I don't know, it's pretty crazy. But I completely agree. Honestly, I put Thorkell on this list because I think he fits the bill more stereotypically than Askeladd, but just that one throne moment. Like, that's one of those moments where I would say it's more like a badass moment as well. Like, he is a badass character, don't get me wrong, but like, more than anything Thorkell's ever done, one specific moment, you know, that scene in the throne room is just, whew, It is like, it is a contender for one of the best scenes in that I've ever experienced in any piece of fiction, honestly. Like, it's just insane.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, yeah.
Yeah. Oof. All right, top three.
Yeah.
I'm actually sure that you're going to have this character as well, which is kind of weird to say since we're in the top three, but Jotaro Kudo. Oh my God. I think like when you say the word badass and anime together, for most people, it's like, oh yeah, the guy that freaking customized his school uniform and looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger at 17, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's just like, I don't know. You know, it is a lot carried by that just JoJo's absurdity of just like, you know, all of these moments that are almost comically set up to just, you know, loop in this very predictable, but just, you know, just, I don't know, perfect pattern of just Jotaro, you know, he has a little trouble, but then he just beats the crap out of the enemy stand user. And, you know, just through repeating that process again and again, I mean, people do criticize, and for good reason, the kind of stand user of the week formula of part three. I'm definitely not saying that that is not something that should be criticized. And I'm even sure that Araki has his own criticisms. And for that reason, I mean, needless to say, is why he's evolved his style. But one thing that style of writing definitely did do is just build up Jotaro. Just think about it. It's almost like repping. Like, he just repped the aura Chad Sigma Grindset again and again and again until, like, you know, like you just have it ingrained in your head. Like, this guy, the way that he just does things is just insane. I mean, I think the one scene that sticks in mind most was it with Steely Dan, right? The one where like he like throws that kind of paper behind him after he like just auras the crap out of this guy. I think it was Steely Dan. I'm not sure. And like, you know, I think it's just like, it's almost like Jotaro needs to be on this list and he needs to be as high as he is because he's defined a certain way of badassery. Just like, you know, just like the cool, like, almost, yeah, again, like what I was saying, like borderline ridiculous, like level of badassery, where it's just like, it fits like with the style, especially the art style of JoJo's, it sort of just creates like this icon that just demands that you put him in this list. I really don't know how else to describe it. Like it's one note, but it's just badass, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
He's
the punch man, yes. But
he ate the punch fruit.
Yes. Yeah. But you know, it's funny because I don't have Jotaro on my list. I did really consider putting him on my list just because more than one JoJo, but I feel like I ultimately gave the representation to Jonathan. I don't know, because I feel like I guess Jotaro is more stereotypically badass, but Jonathan's resolve
is completely sort of like, valid too. Like, yeah, you know, the perspective on the whole idea for sure.
Yeah. I think Jonathan, like Jonathan's resolve just sort of like, I don't know, makes them like even more so, at least for me.
Well, yeah. And especially like, if I think back, like, yes, there are a lot of scenes in, you know, throughout all of Jotaro's appearances that do present him as an incredibly badass character. However, I do think that, for example, the one moment, you know, that is almost like sentimentally badass at the end of part one, where even in death, like, you know, Jonathan is trying to prevent Dio from, you know, doing whatever he could to survive this ship explosion, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I think it's just, there are completely valid arguments to present Jonathan, I think. Yeah. All right. Well, what's your number three, Ben?
None other than Kenpachi Zeraki. Yep, so here he is on my list, yeah. All right, so Kenpachi, I mean, you know, what can I say about him that hasn't been said by Quentin? I feel like, you know, like the, oh my God, like even, yeah, exactly, like even before, like, you know, the current, like, Blood War arc, Kenpachi was just established as this complete badass, like this complete, like this force of nature.
Exactly, force of nature, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's
threat,
like,
you might even say.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's almost weird in a way, because like, he's like a captain, like he's like in this like position of authority, but it's like, why would Kenpachi concern himself with being a captain. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's that's actually an interesting point. I don't think it ever gets addressed either. It's like, I mean, I guess you could encounter more powerful characters that way, but I don't necessarily think, I don't know. Like, you know, it's interesting. Why didn't he just like become like part of the Zero Squad? I don't know. He probably had to show more feats than that, but still.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've never actually thought of that. That's interesting. Yeah. And I think, I mean, you know, if we continued about Kenpachi, I could just go on all day about him. In any case. My number two, I'm going to keep this very short. Because, I mean, again, I've talked about this character so many times on the channel. Not on the channel. What am I on YouTube now? in our episodes. But Guts, I mean, you know, I really don't want to go into too much detail about this because I think like the main focus of Guts' character is nonetheless his journey as a character from an emotional and personality-based standpoint. That is the focus of Guts. That is the main appeal. That is the genius of his character. However, I do think that, you know, with that comes an incredible level of badass. Not even necessarily in the Black Swordsman arc, although I think that's the first thing that comes to my mind personally, but I'm thinking more like the Conviction arc. Like, and this is why I prefaced with what I prefaced with. Like, the badassery of Guts is crazy cool, but it isn't something that I somehow like to think about because it represents an incredibly dark period of Guts' life. And I think that it does lend a pretty valuable perspective on badass characters. Whereas in a lot of shonens, I think, that don't really get into this kind of nitty-gritty character writing, like with like this kind of very dark, like these very dark themes that are like riddled throughout Guts' character, I think you don't kind of get to appreciate the fact that badassery and this kind of like almost like excessive rudeness and anger that kind of does often lend to creating very good badass characters, you know, it isn't necessarily something that in the real world, in the real complex world of emotions, cause and effect, consequence and action, blah blah blah, usually that means that this character has gone through some stuff and that this character, you know, probably that isn't a positive reaction to what they went through. Like I think I even mentioned in one of the previous entries on the list, they have a vendetta against the world a lot of the times, and that could not be truer in Guts's case. And you know, it's so raw, and I think that's why I put him so on the list. It's so raw, those like moments in the Lost Children arc where he's like coming out of the flames and he's like, he's a literal monster, like literally the apostle is like cowering in fear of him, which is just insane. Yeah, I'm not even going to go any further because he's just that guy, you know what I'm saying?
He's that guy.
All right.
So my number two is also Guts. Yes.
We aligned.
Yes. All right. So yeah, I mean, actually, I did consider giving him the number one spot, but I feel like, I don't know, man, this next character, I just had to give it to you.
Well, nonetheless, I think we actually have the same character at number one. But
really? I'm not sure.
Okay.
All right. But nonetheless, Guts is, oh my God, he just, exactly, because he has like so many moments that like Guts is like, you know, like you were saying, he represents like sort of this darker badassery, but nonetheless, I mean, even in general, like Guts is
that actually,
like,
nonetheless, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. You know, he just like has like so many moments that you can just like point to and sort of like, from that same, like you know, fight you were mentioning, Quentin, like when he faces, Rosaline. And like he, you know, she has like this sort of like stinger through his. And he's like,
the scars are still there.
Yeah, I got it. I mean, I gotta appreciate that consistency. But yeah, Guts is just like, oh, like Kenpachi, he's just like this like force of nature who just like
on demon time.
He's always on. Well, not I guess not always.
He's always on timing.
On time, yes. Yeah.
All right. Well, this is sort of like a weird, like, I mean, I'm pretty sure that now that you said it, we don't have the same character at number one, but yeah, I'm I'm pretty confident in my choice. Like, you know, I'm not saying that there's like an objectively most badass character in all of anime and manga, but like, you know, if there were one, this would be it, if you ask me. Okay. So it's Yujiro Hanma. Oh my God. Oh my God. Do you know the number of YouTube channels slash just social media accounts in general that have grown exponentially because they've made almost primarily or solely even Yujiro Hanma Black Air Force Energy video?
Yeah, yeah.
it's just insane. Like,
yeah. Like the one I was thinking about, it's like the thumbnail was like Yujiro with like, you know, that like the air, like that. You
the
know,
grill
the thing, like the true the grill.
Yeah.
I'm about to get mad.
I think that's DJ the Champs. Yeah. No. But like, it's just insane because like, and I mean, I'm not making fun of these channels. Like, I love watching those videos because it's true. Like, if you could compile every single aspect of badassery that I have mentioned in the past entries, besides maybe the dark badassery, because just Baki doesn't have time for that. Yeah. Like, it's literally, he's an amalgamation of every single form of badass you can be. The ridiculous, just over the top badassery of Jotaro. I can't believe I just said Jotaro. I don't know. That's the same. I don't
Jotaro.
Know. Just like the Jotaro. Jotaro cards. And then just like the battle fiendishness of Kenpachi, just the unrelenting pride of like Eren Yeager, for example. Like, it's just like, and I think the one thing that I can point to every single time is just, oh my God. Like, I mean, sometimes it's almost just like annoying just how every time in the manga in particular, and to a certain extent, just in a slightly different way in the anime as well, Itagaki just builds the crap out of Yujiro every single time he makes an entrance. Like, it doesn't matter how many times he's made an entrance in an arc. As soon as he makes a main entrance, he gets like a whole, like, there was a legend that one day this man was struck by lightning or some crap, but he just kept walking. Like, that's an actual like entrance that'll happen later in Son of Ogre, but just like every time there has to be some kind of ridiculous kind of like, this man, without even trying, turned into the biggest urban legend possible because he was just too strong. And when he farted, this and that happened. Like, you know, literally, like, it's like funny how badass he is. But then also it's just plain old scary, like how proud he is and how certain he is, but also how just like, you can't deny the guy his throne. Like, even in like the battles where he's supposed to be like, on equal footing with people, quote unquote, it doesn't feel like it because no, you can't imagine Yujiro losing. Like, if there's one character I cannot imagine just losing or being in a situation where he cannot win, it's Yujiro. I mean, part of that is obviously that within the confines of the Baki universe, there isn't anyone. And also, Baki isn't really like a lot of other series that have like all those special effects kind of played kind of sound effects, played like power systems and stuff like that. It's just kind of supposedly pure hands. But like, even then, like, it's like, you know, it's kind of harder to make that kind of direct jump from like Baki to like, I don't know, he ain't beating Goku. Like, yeah, sure, he isn't beating Goku. But like, Goku, I feel like Goku would still piss his pants, you know, like, even if he was beating Yujiro Hanma, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Hot take, but still, like, I mean, it's almost like the equivalent of bowing, you know, to Yujiro Hanma to piss your pants in front of him at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just how it is. Like, it's just, there's like, he is basically, that's his shtick. His shtick is to be ridiculously, shamelessly, in your face, overpowered. And he does it better than any other character, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I definitely considered, again, putting Yujiro on my list, but I feel like, I don't know, I feel like for me, the characters I see as like the most badass are the ones that actually face more adversity, like more challenge, more difficulty.
That's actually something that I thought about as well. Like, am I really going to put Yujiro on here? It's like, it's sort of like a similar thing that I had with putting Gojo on here, where I was like, yeah, but like, Gojo is sort of naturally like powerful. Yes, he's gone through some things to acquire his power, but not nearly as much as other people. Yeah, I see what you're saying. And I can see why that might, you know, depending on your criterion, put Yujiro maybe not even in this list, but just in a completely different kind of category. But I made the choice because, like, just when I'm thinking of badass characters, like, I cannot not think of Yujiro. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. All right. So, okay. For my number one, I have Vegeta from Dragon Ball.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Man, what can I say? I mean, Vegeta is just like, it's funny because, like, we were mentioning how, like, he's always taking L's. Like, he doesn't.
Even the writers can't make him not badass with all the L's they throw at him.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just like, oh my God, like, for Vegeta, like being badass, it's not even, I mean, you know, he does get some, I guess, you know, double U's here and there, but at this point, it's like, it's not even about that anymore. It's just like, what he embodies.
It's about,
you know?
Saiyan pride, Kakarot. I don't know. I haven't watched Dragon Ball, I don't know.
Yeah, but like his, I mean, exactly, like his pride, like his, like, you know, it's just like, sheer like determination, like to, like, you know, be like, you know, to like match up to Goku or Kakarot, as he calls him.
Carrot.
And carrots, sorry. And just like, yeah, like his sheer like resolve and determination. I feel like the Buu saga, you know, like the Buu saga is weirdly like, it's like, you know, gets like ripped on by like a lot of people, like, you know, in general, like as being, oh, like, you know, one of the weaker parts of Z. But I find like, at least for Vegeta, like, just the Buu saga is just like insane, like, you know, for his development, but also honestly for his badassery. Like, I feel like there's this, you know, in his fight against Kid Buu, it's notorious for being one of those fights where, like, you know, Vegeta's just like, he's getting his ass handed to him, right? He's getting like just like completely demolished by Buu. But like, there's this one moment, like, he just, like, he gets back up, and Boo is, like kissing his pants, right? He just, like, he backs away, and he's like, what, yeah, clown? You're just a trickster. I'm a warrior, the prince. And, like, and that's another thing. Like,
yeah,
the speeches he gives, like oh, my God.
Like, I haven't even watched or read the series, and I know that his speeches are, like, crazy. Like, they're so iconic that they get memed on. Like, you know... Come on, Kakarot.
Yeah.
No. Man, like, it is insane, yeah, just how like transcendent he is from like a meta perspective. Like, I mean, I even know how badass he is without even having, you know, it's pretty insane. And I think another thing to think about is also like, you have this main character, Goku, who is this happy-go-lucky sort of like, you know, he loves fighting, but he's not like really serious in the traditional sense. And he, you know, grows in this incredibly like a power escalated world where like the power creep is like more insane than arguably in any other verse. And then you have this character who is putting effort that feels real, that feels authentic, and keeping up with that character. And I feel like that's enough to think of him as badass. Like, you know, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, for like, real.
For real though, for real. Vegeta is... He is that guy. He is the guy.
He is that guy. He is that guy. Yes. He is him. He is him.
He is him. Yes.
He is him. He is he who shall. He is literally me.
He is literally me. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I feel like Vegeta's bad. Like, I feel like out of all of the characters like on this list, like in terms of like Vegeta's like sheer like his significance to me personally is just like, I mean, it's hard to put into words, but I feel like Vegeta is just someone that motivates me to like go beyond, you know, like it's like I'm in the gym and I'm just like, you know,
come on,
you know,
Kakarot.
Yeah, he motivates me like
no, I get going, it, I get
like,
it, I get
break
it.
My limits, like, you know, it's like, yeah, Vegeta, man, what can I say?
He's just no, like, no, but it's just like it is. That's the thing, right? Like. I don't think any other character has been able to recreate that, really. Honestly, like, this kind of admirable mix of arrogance, pride, but also like where you realize that's part of his philosophy. That's like who he is as well. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's just like this unrelentingness. Like his pride is his motivation to a certain extent, right? Like he cannot not live up to his name a little bit. Just insane, man. Insane. Yeah. Not even his eyebrows can live up to his name. Sorry. His eyebrows. Also, can I make another DBZ joke?
Yes.
Kenpachi is skinny Raditz in the Thousand Year Blood War.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like Kenpachi is like, I mean, he's pretty built though, no? I mean, I feel like, I don't know. I guess it's.
He's pretty lanky. He's actually pretty lanky. Like his.
That's true, actually. He is, yeah.
He looks a little goofy. Ah, in some of his panels.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a commonality, like with the physiques you see in Bleach, right? Like even from Ichigo too. Like he's like, you know, you can see like he's ripped, like he's got like a good core, but like his arms are like pretty like thin, you know?
Yeah,
like,
the thin thing is, he's like a long boy. You know what I'm saying? Like he's
long. He's a long boy. Yeah,
like he's large, and like. I think it's actually purposeful from Kubo. He does kind of emit that sort of like really savage street kid vibe. Like, you know, we're like, you know, he's like starving. He needs something now. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm looking too deep into it, but
yeah.
goddamn, like Kenpachi, like everything about him, including his design. I don't know. In any case, thank you guys so much for listening to us rant for another hour plus. And yeah. I hope you enjoyed. All right. Let's close off. Everybody have a nice
see you next time.
Until we get together again. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.